Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and welcome to The Last Full Measure with Ted Hayes and Eric Johnson. I'm Eric Johnson and would like to welcome you to our first show of The Last Full Measure. Greetings, Ted. How are you, sir?
Hey, Eric. I'm doing really good, actually. Things are kind of, the Lord is kind of pulling things into my wheelhouse. It's almost like shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, there's some ups and downs, but I'm doing good. How about yourself?
We are well. We are healthy, and we are buzzing around on the wheelchair, just zoom, zoom, zoom. So it's nice to get out every once in a while, yeah. So my daughter and I got out a couple days ago. It was nice. So,
great. Are you popping wheelies?
We are popping wheelies off the curb and all sorts of things. So the last full measure. We've decided to call the show The Last Full Measure. Ted, for our listeners, what does the last full measure mean? What is that?
You know, this is something that is the core of who we are as American United States citizens, both so-called black and white citizens. And that statement, last full measure, is in the last paragraph of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address on November 19th, 1863, and he was commemorating the Battle of Gettysburg on the July 4th weekend, of all things. And in the last statement, he says, "It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion." And the rest of it says that we highly resolve that these dead should not be dead in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, life, liberty, which is happiness. And that whole last part, government of the people, by the people, for the people, and a new birth of freedom. All of that depends on whether those boys are dead in vain, whether we let them be dead in vain. And the way that we let them be dead in vain is if we do not finish the business for which they, not only northern boys, but southern boys, died over and for, was the end of a horrific nightmare that this country, this nation was born with. United States did not create chattel slavery. It inherited chattel slavery on July 4th, 1776. And because that was an unfinished business, as the Constitution said, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, this great imperfection staring us in our face was chattel slavery. And unfortunately, some 40, 50 years later, young white boys from the north and southern states ended up having to die in a war over this matter. And so that behooves all of us who are alive today to ensure that these boys are not dead in vain by finishing the work which they died for. So it means a whole lot, and I'm glad that we have that title, because, Eric, I think this is going to awaken a lot of people across the country, because I think we forgot that whole aspect of our history, our legacy.
You know, it's been interesting. I met you in 2010. You were out here for 2010. And here it's, 2018, and I'm still being educated by you as what really been happening. And it's been quite a personal road trip for me to learn about this. And the 740,000 that you always like to mention, the young white men and boys that bled and died to free the chattel slaves, you had started a website called the 740,000.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that website?
Yes. Folks, what that is a message to the American people to remember these boys and resolve ourselves that they are not going to be dead in vain and that we're going to finish their work. And in doing that, what we will do is get a better understanding of what the so-called racial divide in our country is, which I don't believe anymore, is that there's so much of a racial divide. It's another kind of divide we can talk about in the future. But our job is to finish that and bring that understanding between black and white people in this country so that we can heal, you know, so that we can be the nation that our founding fathers dreamed about. And, you know, a little bit on the controversial side, whenever there's an uproar in this country, there's a certain element of black people in our country, black citizens, who denigrate white men and young white boys with the term white boy. White boys, you know, like white man. And I feel it's time to straighten that up, because the fact of the matter is, whatever people want to say about the white boy and the white man, it was the white boy and the white man, 740,000 plus the millions more wounded physically and mentally and their families disrupted, those guys gave their lives over some people that were not of them. It is the first time in the history, to my opinion, in my view, first time in history that a people of one particular ethno-racial group went to war with itself over the fate and the destiny of another group that is not of themselves. Which kind of reminds me sort of what Jesus said, greater love, greater action, greater agape has no man than this, but that he, she laid down their lives for their friends. And in doing so, if you love your neighbor, care about your neighbor as yourself, then you care for what God has called humanity to do. And that's what this country's done. And I tell my white brothers and sisters, I tell y'all right now to your ears, you know, get your head up off of your, get your chin up off your chest, get your head up, shoulder back, walk tall, white boy, white man, because you've done a wonderful, wonderful thing. And the world essentially is jealous of you. That's why they want to call you racist and bigots and all that kind of stuff. If you were such racist and bigots, why are they rushing into the country, legally and illegal? And I'm talking primarily about the so-called people of color. So, you know, guys, this is what this whole process is about, that Eric, you know, he built the website, because I can't do that kind of stuff. And he really put it together. You guys need to go there, 740,000.com, 740,000.com. And one more point about this, if I may say, Eric. But often, since the end of the war, we've had this animosity between Northerners and Southerners and all of that, and we've kind of denigrated the Southern boys and the Confederacy as villains. When, from what I'm gathering, these boys were not villains. Most, I would say 99% of them didn't even own slaves. They were not fighting to maintain slavery. They were fighting for what they believed was their countries. And they were patriotic. They believed in the Declaration of Independence, as the Northern boys did too. So you'll find a page there on 740,000 where I make specific mention that it's time now, we speak of the Gettysburg Address, that we also speak of the Southern Confederate boys in a good light. We owe that to them.
Wow. Wow. That is it's amazing. But just spending time with Ted, you learn one, his passion. You learn a lot about our history. It's what we're not getting in the school systems, that they are just trying to brush over or hide the fact that it was the white man, the white boy, that had bled and died to free the chattel slaves. And they're trying to shame the white man and shame the white boy, which is very disturbing. We need to stand up and say, no, enough's enough. Here's what history is. This is what we've done. And it needs to, you know, it needs to stop. The last full measure also covers some other areas. We're down to our kind of our last 5 minutes of the show. Some areas that we want to get into in future shows is the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th Amendment. Could you give us just a brief outline of what those three are, the 13th, 14th, and 15th?
Sure, absolutely. I would like to also say, by the way, that 38,000 black boys and men also perished in the war, 38,000 of them. Many of them were escaped slaves. Some of them were what we call freemen, blacks who were not ever slaves. And they participated, too. But the overwhelming, clearly, was them young, innocent white boys And so please remember that, folks. And then the 13th Amendment, Abraham Lincoln, this all came out of his head, and the Republicans, the radical Republicans of 1854-56 party, the 13th Amendment abolished slavery, except in prison. The 14th Amendment gave the chattel slaves their U.S. citizenship. The 15th Amendment gave the new citizens the right to vote, thereby allowing them to participate in governing America, which, by the way, the last amendment was the one that resolved in the mind of the conspirators with John Wilkes Booth to kill Lincoln. They was going to kidnap him and negotiate a deal. But standing 20 feet away from him at the White House, listening to Lincoln say, and I want to not only citizenize, but I want to also give them the right to vote. He said that did it. He must die. And
wow.
So that 15th Amendment was given to us at the death of Abraham Lincoln so that we could vote and participate equally in this government to maintain our citizenship so that we don't end up back in the 13th Amendment Section 2 where we are going to prison. And if you look at America's prison system, it is overwhelmingly descended of chattel slaves there. Now, is that because of racism and injustice? I don't think so. It's something else, and we'll talk about that in the future.
Wow. Wow. I wanted to hit on one other issue. We're down to our last 3.5 minutes. The homelessness. You've spent yourself personally, by choice, 8 years, if I'm correct, 8 years on the streets of L.A. as a homeless person to understand the mentality of the homeless. Can you briefly go into that a little bit?
Sure, absolutely. I appreciate the question. Folks, you know, I was like most people in this country, in the world, criticizing everything that's wrong, you know, the church, white people, black people, the rich, the poor, whatever, just criticizing. Homeless, why somebody do something about the homeless, do something. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said, boy, you got a big mouth. You talk too much. I said, what do you mean? He said, if you know so much about what's wrong and what's right, then you need to go fix it. And, you know, I have been struggling, and I haven't preached on this when back in the days when I thought I was a minister. You know, we preach on a lot of things, and we don't really comprehend what we're preaching. And I used to preach what Jesus said. No one, he said, he that leaves father, mother, husband, wife, children, property, lands for my sake shall receive in this world 100-fold and the blessed world 100-fold. He used to preach that. Got to be dedicated to the Lord. And there I was dealing with that in my life. It just kept coming to me. He says, I want you to walk in that. Because I got a wife and 4 little children. It's going to be dumb. It's going to be crazy. I'm not prepared. I'm not ready for this. Well, I'll see you in downtown L.A. on Skid Row. When you come down there, we'll renew our relationship, okay? Boy, you guys, I put my foot, all that complaining that I was doing, y'all better watch what you say out there. I put my foot in my mouth all the way up to my hip, and I'm still trying to get that suck out, and I don't think it's coming out. I've had bulldozers try to pull it out. It won't come out. My mouth got me in trouble. So, but you know what, though? It was a beautiful thing to get in trouble for because the Lord since has blessed my family, blessed me, one of my youngest daughter. He made her an Olympic gold medal champion in the 2004 Olympics when she ran the hurdles. All kinds of wonderful things are beginning to happen around the issue of homelessness. I have a gravitas to talk about homelessness that nobody in the history of the United States has. I'm getting very closer to meeting with the President of the United States on this matter, who said he wants to be our Abraham Lincoln. In fact, he wants to do better than Abraham Lincoln, meaning he wants to finish where Abraham Lincoln was cut off April the 14th, 1865. And so if it wasn't for that experience, as tough as it was today, we would not be in a position to make a pretty soon a very wonderful for Philippe. And you know what? And I don't think Eric would have not have known me. We would have not had this relationship because I would not have been worthy to share or be around a guy like Eric because I had not done nothing. But because I went through that, I was able to walk in the presence of a person like Eric Johnson, whom I really look up to and respect.
Well, thank you, Ted. That's very gracious of you. Folks, we're getting down to the last.
For the brownie, dude. You owe me.
Well, we're coming down to the close of our show here, folks, but we will be addressing each of these issues one by one on our show. But we want to thank you for listening in. This is our show for today. Thank you for listening to The Last Full Measure, and shalom in Jerusalem. Okay, that's it. Are you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here. I was trying to say the website one last time, but that's okay. We got it anyway.
Yeah, I have it actually. I actually have it on the link in the description, so it's there too. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, hey, man, good work, Eric. You ask good questions. Good spirit. It's good,
thank
man. I think this the Lord may have His hand really on this. This could do something here.
I hope so.
And you know, we should play off of the next time this particular president. We need to put it into some context. Primarily because of what he said to us. He spoke to us, black folks, black citizens, chattel slave descendants, like no other president as a candidate has ever done since Abraham Lincoln. And he, the thing that as I said, he said was, I want to be like Lincoln. He says, you know what? I want to be greater than Lincoln. I want to finish what Lincoln, where he was cut off. And that speaks a whole bunch. What he's saying is he will bring this country back to April the 14th, 1865. That's where the Lord is. And this is why our country is so doggone confused right now and going through things because of that. Scholars say we've never recovered from the assassination of Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. And I believe that. But I believe the Lord wants, he's going to give us one final shot to clear his name. In the Declaration of Independence, when he said, God has created all men equal, if that is so, my children, why are you holding my black children as chattel? Oh, that's a good question, God.
Yeah, the system's going to kick us off here, so.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I just know it's also we're going to get dead air here in a second, so. Okay,
all right, so,
I will shoot you the link, and you can listen to it and go from there. So.
Absolutely, Eric. Great job, brother. Thank you. Thank you for coming up with this.
You probably should, hello? Hello?
Hello?
All right, there you are. Yeah, I'll shoot you the link. Listen to it first before you post it.